Well, it's why we have Emory Hunt on, so we can chat about this. He joins us from The Athletic, and check out his work on footballgameplan.com and the YouTube channel as well. Emory joins us right now in the program, Sportsnet 650. How you doing, man?
Doing fine, man. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, anytime. We Sat made the comment as we were heading in, and maybe it has a lot to do with, hey, there was no preseason, and we're still kind of getting the lay of the land here, but no one's really playing defense in the NFL over the first few weeks. And it's kind of, you know, who can click on offense and who can't. Do you see that as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting when you put it that way. Guys right now are going through this whole season without an off season, without, the regulars as far as preseason and workouts. So essentially, these first couple of games are still, in my opinion, like the preseason. Even in the regular, football year, we would have seen the first couple of games teams sputter out the gate trying to get their sea legs underneath them. So I think at the end of the day, toward the, let's say week five or six, we'll start to see that talent level show itself and teams find their consistency. And then we'll be able to see, these guys were – what we saw earlier in the season definitely didn't represent what they are and what they could become.
And then kind of projecting that moving forward here and looking at teams that are going to have success this season, as I was kind of mentioning, I'm not sure if you heard, but if we're looking at teams that are going to have success this season, is the quarterback, the coach, and the plan the most important part of trying to win this year based on what we've seen from defenses and the lack of being able to get stops so far?
Yeah, I think what's really key is, and you see this playing out in Buffalo, and you see a little bit of it playing out in Baltimore as well. If you have continuity along the line of scrimmage, you're going to be just fine. If you have continuity within your organization, and that's quarterback, coach, play caller, you're going to be fine. And so if you have that, you're able to hit the ground running and still a few games in this first part of the season. So when you have the continuity, that's less communication that has to go on. It means you also don't have to worry about guys having the mental errors and the mental bust out there on the field. And I think that's huge. And that's why you see a lot of the teams that have had that consistency. Buffalo, I think, has the entire offensive line and defensive line returning and their entire secondary. All those places where you have to have communication, they have the continuity there, and therefore you're only worried about Josh Allen being able to connect that and then have that chemistry with Stephon Diggs. So if you're able to minimize the amount of communication that goes on and guys can go out there and just kind of play and play with like they did last year as far as in terms of scheme is concerned, then those teams are off to a great start. And as you get closer to the end of the season, it's going to be that combined with who has the healthiest team, as we see that's a big issue right now, and also who is able to really maintain that level of continuity along the line of scrimmage. If you're able to do that in this particular season, I think you're going to go far.
What we're seeing from Josh Allen, you mentioned him and the Bills, sustainable or just a flash early in the season?
It's sustainable. And here's the part about Josh Allen that people are missing. When you go back to his Wyoming tape, as wild as his passes were, as inaccurate and crazy as his play has been at Wyoming, once he got inside the red zone, all of that went out the window. He was the most efficient player inside the red zone in college. And fast forward to the NFL, what we have seen his first 3 years in the league? Once he gets inside the red zone, he's able to lock in, the mistakes disappear, and he's able to come away with points. I think he only has like one turnover in his career so far inside the red zone. That's ridiculous. And so when you're able to do that and come up with a point when points are a premium, that's why he's having the success he's had. And now what's happening is that he has worked on the fine parts of his game as far as developing a changeup and developing some touch on his throws and throwing with accuracy. So he's playing much better within the 20-20 range, where he struggled the first couple of seasons, but he also combines that improvement with what he has always done inside the red zone, and that's why you're seeing the Josh Allen that we're seeing right now.
When you look at this game tonight, and boy, we don't have to wait long to just get an awesome Monday nighter. I know last year or the year before, we all looked forward to the big Kansas City LA Rams game that finished, I think, 100-99. But how do you see this one going? And are these two teams clearly the class of the NFL, Emery? And if so or if not, how close is Seattle to this mix?
I think right now there's maybe four or five teams that are a notch above everyone else. And that these two teams tonight, you have to include Buffalo. You have to also include the Seahawks and the Packers. I think the Seahawks and Packers are your top tier teams in the NFC. And I think when you look at the AFC, outside of Kansas City and Baltimore, Buffalo is the next in line, I believe, at number three. But then you have New England that's going to start catching fire. You're going to have a team come out the Central, maybe not the Central, the AFC North. Maybe Pittsburgh can start getting some leeway toward the middle part, toward the end of the season, as Ben Roethlisberger gets back into football playing shape. So you have some teams there, and you have the AFC South, where you may have an Indianapolis Colts team that you have to deal with, or Tennessee. But right now, I think that top tier is Kansas City, Baltimore, then Buffalo, or Buffalo will be on the same tier with Seattle, and then Green Bay. Green Bay has the offense. They're giving up a lot of points defensively, but right now that offense can outscore anyone, and they've done a great job on both ends.
We're talking to Emery Hunt from The Athletic and the F Football Game Plan, czar of the playbook as well. And Emery, when I look at the New Orleans Saints, and yeah, Michael Thomas not being there is a bit of an issue. But if Drew Brees is hitting that regression side now and he's not the same guy anymore, what does that do for the ceiling for that Saints team?
It really limits them. And this is something that I've been screaming about for 2 years now. If you go back to that playoff game against the Rams, the NFC title game, Brees' arm limitation is really what limited their ability to close out the Rams, because he wasn't able to push that ball deep down the field. If you put that football out in front of the receiver that's streaking down the sideline, there's no interference that takes place. That ball is going over that guy's head. The guy won't be able to get there, and it's going to be a walk into the end zone. You look at last year's playoff game against Minnesota. They went a full two quarters without attempting a pass over 15 yards. That's a problem, because now you allow yourself to be pretty much a short, quick passing game where you're challenging defensive backs and linebackers to rally up and make a play and make tackles, and teams are doing that, and they can't push the ball deep. And we saw it last night, and saw it against the Las Vegas Raiders. So, yeah, Brees' arm is a limitation. You got to remember, he's 42 years old? So you expect that to happen, and I think at some point in time, they're going to either have to create dynamic plays out the run game. They're going to have to find some speedier catch and run guys. They're not built that way. Michael Thomas is a good catch guy, but catch and run guy, he doesn't have that breakaway speed. Emmanuel Sanders can't be that guy, but we saw him and Drew Brees finally connect on a touchdown last night, and that was, this third week of the season. And so they're going to have to find guys that can take those short passes a long way. A guy like Deontay Harris is one that could be getting more involved in the offense, because Brees won't be able to get that football deeper past 20 to 30 yards down the field.
So yesterday, one of the big storylines, Emery, was, you know, rookie receivers, and you know, T. Higgins gets on the board, and Claypool does it again. Jefferson had the big day in Minnesota. Brandon Ayuk makes his debut. I thought he was awesome for the Niners yesterday. I don't know. Maybe it's recency bias, but I don't know if I've enjoyed watching a rookie class from the receiver position as much since that 2014 one with there was, you know, Evans and go down the list, Odell Beckham, even Kelvin Benjamin was good that year, Landry, Allen Robinson. Who has impressed you the most among these rookie receivers, and is this class the best we've seen in maybe 8 or 10 years?
You know, I wouldn't go that far. A lot of them haven't had the opportunity to really play yet. But I will say this, they're off to a great start. I know you saw Justin Jefferson, what he did yesterday. CeeDee Lamb landed in the ideal situation, you know, where he's the third guy. He's going to beat up on whoever your third corner is, no matter who it is. So you like the way they played. I like what I saw from Ayuk, and I think San Francisco, as well as the Rams do a great job of getting their receivers involved in a run game. And with Ayuk, you want the ball in his hands like you would a Deebo Samuel, like the Rams do with Robert Woods. So, yeah, they're off to a great start. But, I mean, that's some big shoes to fill when you talk about Beckham, Evans, Landry, Robinson, that group, man. That group was outstanding when they hit the ground.
And, Emery, before we let you go, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. First week, it did not look great for the Bucs, right? Brady struggled to the last couple weeks. Now, this week, Brady looked fantastic. And the week before, I thought Brady was better than numbers showed, a couple of bad drops by the receivers. What do you make of the Bucs so far now that they're 2-1 and how Brady's running that offense?
Yeah, they're in a good spot because their defense is really good. I think the Bucs defense is outstanding. They can get pressure with their front four. They can get pressure off the edge. They got guys on the back end that can cover and make plays. Winfield is already looking like Defensive Rookie of the Year. So their defense is going to continue to get better. And the offense is finding their continuity and their consistency. The communications is going to get better. And we're seeing them get better every week. They couldn't do anything in week one against the Saints. And we saw them get a little bit better against Carolina in week two. We saw them get a lot better against Denver. So this team will get better moving forward. The run game is going to be there. I like how both running backs are running the football right now, Fournette and also Ronald Jones. They love all the depth they have at tight end. And once Brady and those receivers get on the same page, then, yeah, they're going to be hitting their stride at the right time. And the defense, I think, will be solid and strong throughout.
Hey, Emery, thanks for taking time to do this on a busy day in football. Let's do it again soon. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys.
He is Emery Hunt. You can catch his work on The Athletic and a bunch of other stuff as well. Follow him on Twitter. We have that posted on our Twitter account right now, Sportsnet 650. Andrew Walker, Sat Shaw, and it's at Football Game Plan is his Twitter account, and follow him on footballgameplan.com as well.